The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
We're all trying to review a movie today. One problem. It is The Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. And the most recent time we had an afternoon unfold headline-wise in the sport quite the way yesterday did, with UCLA and USC going from rumor, announcement, confirmed in about 4 hours. UCLA and Southern Cal are on to the Big Ten. When that happened yesterday, remnant, not as big, because OU and Texas is a better combination a little bit. And the SEC is better than the Big Ten, a little bit. So it was a little bit bigger last July, but it got a lot more attention because there was nothing that came before it. It wasn't on anyone's radar. If you think about it, I believe it was the second morning of SEC Media Days, that Tuesday, I believe. And Brent Zwerneman, he Houston Chronicle, is that right? Yeah. And he just casually mentioned, oh, yeah, OU and Texas are going to the South. I was like, casually mentioned? He's like, I didn't know it would catch on. So that was announced. Well, think from your own experience, whether you're media or a coach or a player or a fan, or you're Gary Danielson and I'm third party, I'm observing report. Whoever you are, after OU and Texas were announced last year, and it took about 2 weeks before it became official. It was acknowledged, and then it was crossed and dotted about 2 weeks. They got this done in an afternoon yesterday. Once that had unfolded the way it did last July, think about you personally. How many times you've speculated about what's next and maybe read about it and maybe watched it on TV, discussion about it? Maybe talked about it with your friends, maybe thought about it yourself. Conference, not just realignment and expansion. That doesn't really describe things. The reorganizing of all teams that play real college football, that's a much better and thorough and accurate description of what's going on. It's the reorganization of the sport, the re-tiering of the sport, because Rice and Alabama, they are on toeing the line of, we don't really compete for the same trophy anymore. We don't actually play in the same area of the sport. So that was last July. And I even said then, I was like, my opinion, and the phrase I said, Game of Thrones, folks. If you think Sankey is stopping with these two, I was like, you need to think like 20, 24, bigger. Just whatever bigger is, think bigger. That was a year ago, and that was my contribution to it. You had yours. Everybody had his or hers. We get forward to today after having about 11 and a half months of pretty regular speculation about what's next. And UCLA and Southern Cal onto the Big Ten. I can give you a well-reasoned opinion about how that may work out. Beyond that, not much point, because what happened yesterday? Giant movement. And about 10 more of these are coming. And I suspect the ultimate remnants of the Big 12 and either the ACC or the scraps of the Big 12 and the Pac-12 will tie up together. And they're the third of three real conferences that are playing real college football for the actual national championship. Each with, 20 or so teams. That's what I believe is going to happen. But I can't give you certainty on anything other than there will be a lot more to figure in to whatever you are thinking about all this currently. Has it been a big start? Absolutely. But there is so much more that will make us forget yesterday altogether. Last July, when the SEC's version of this broke. When Casino Royale came out, that James Bond film, it was about 15 years ago. Casino Royale came out. It was the first one with Daniel Craig as James Bond. Went to see it with the lady I was dating at the time. She leans over about 2 minutes in. I don't like him as Bond. You had seen the gun barrel scene. Like, maybe like 1 minute more. I don't like him. That's where we are today on conference membership. This is going to end college football. Maybe premature. I'm not ready to bandy that opinion. But, folks, we've seen 2 minutes of this movie. And there's a lot of action still going to happen. If you want the ultimate example of how quickly and to what extent college football is changing, the Atlantic Coast Conference was founded in 1953. That's stability. The ACC issued its football schedule 3 days ago, and it's likely obsolete. Here's our four-season model going forward, is it? Because I think you put this out on Tuesday, and you're about to... You ever get those emails? Please disregard the previous email. Or what is it called? Recall. Recall that email. I got a feeling that's going to come from Greensboro. Hey, remember that schedule we sent out earlier this week? Yeah, ignore that. Why would that happen, Chuck? What's the conference game? How many conference games? Who's in the conference? If you don't know, one reason that UCLA and USC were able to leave with whatever the financial penalties or the waiting time, whatever it is. If you wonder why two programs like that from a real Power 5 conference are able to wrangle this with relative ease for such a monstrously huge move, it's because Clemson and Florida State did something that USC and UCLA would not do. They got a little pressured into, nudged into, all right, we need to be uniform. We're all in the ACC. We're all going to sign away our rights till 2036. Yeah. Ah. Uh-huh. And I promise you, there were conversations. You know, I've always said, the meeting's at 1. Everybody, big meeting at 1. No, the big meeting's about 12:30. I can promise you, there was a 12:30 meeting in Tallahassee. There was a 12:30 meeting in Clemson. Might have been one in Blacksburg. But there were a couple of places around the ACC that had the meeting before the meeting. And it was not, you know, it was unanimous. Ultimately, when you signed the paper, it was not unanimous behind the scenes. And in a calculated move that both officials with Florida State and Clemson thought would work out better for Florida State and Clemson, that's the only reason they did this. They threw in with the Atlantic Coast Conference until 2036 the grant of media rights. It means you want to leave? Knock yourself out. You don't get to televise, broadcast in any way, not as part of your new conference, any of your games. None of them. Media rights, we got them. Well, obviously that is prohibitive to sign off the next 13 or 14 seasons. Can't do that. Now, you can create a kicker that gets the ACC out of that situation. And I don't know, trying to add 4 more teams? That may do it. Maybe you lead the race and you get to 21st. Maybe you call the Big 12 and say, all right, let's talk. Texas Tech, in. Baylor, TCU, in. Hey, Houston, sup? I don't know. But UCLA and USC, George Kliavkoff, I've said that he was sort of in over his head, specifically because it was college athletics. He knows what he's doing when it comes to a TV contract. Entertainment contracts, generating buzz, etc. You can't blame this necessarily on him. My understanding is that when he took office, oh yeah, by the way, happy birthday, George. Happy 1 year on the job, George. When he took the job, this was already on his plate. This is a Larry Scott doing about 95% of it. And what I have been told is for the past calendar year, George Kliavkoff has been trying to nudge and gently push along USC and UCLA to re-up them meteorites. And they were always like, yeah, well, have you had a bagel? Let's get you a bagel. Somebody get George a bagel in here. For a year, he's been trying to get them to throw in more permanently. And they're like, yeah, we're going to get back to you on that. Meanwhile, I wasn't thinking any commissioner could take the belt from Sankey for, I mean, cold, dead killer. After Sankey sat elbow to elbow with Bob Bowlesby for, I don't know, a year and a half, cranking out ideas for college football playoff expansion, all the while picking his pocket of the only two programs that really moved the needle in his entire conference. Sitting literally, I'm not saying he was in the room. There's like 30 people in the room. Bowlesby and Sankey sat beside each other. Hey, Greg, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Bob, how's your day? By the way, I'm taking OU in Texas. Oh, did that slip? I thought that was going to be the ultimate belt. Kevin Warren declared alliance with George Kliavkoff. That's why it's even worse. Not at worst. Let me take that back. That's why it's an even more extreme case of just cold killer. Sankey? Sankey, you remember Lane Kiffin when he left Tennessee? Do you remember what people, how could you leave after a year? Do you remember what he said? He was accurate. He's like, I never promised one kid I was going to be here 4 years. Greg Sankey never promised Bob Bowlesby or anyone else he wasn't trying to expand. Kevin Warren and the Big Ten signed a sheet of paper with George Kliavkoff. Hey, we're on the same side. There is so much more that is about to unfold in this. And when I say about to, I don't know, in the next week, the next year, I have full expectation that that conversation we had 2 days ago about the ACC schedule, yeah, that was probably just curiosity.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Friday on the Chuck Oliver Show, Just talking about the reorganization of college football, stem to stern. Appreciate everybody getting in today. Got a huge day for guests. With so much going on, and again, this is the first step down the road, folks. There is USC and UCLA, as far as the Pac-12, it is the biggest they could offer. There are going to be five more of these moves coming up, I can promise you. There are so many measuring sticks, though, that show the tier, the power tier, the structure in college football. And some of them are unintentional. Like last summer, I think last summer the SEC for legality, and I mentioned this earlier in the week for some reason, I think there was a legality, some sort of technical, the SEC had to put in an exit fee. Until then, Southeastern Conference looked around and was like, you want to leave, leave. They were the only power, the only conference in what we used to call Division I that didn't have an exit fee. Do you know why? Because they didn't need one. I've never seen an article talking about how the other conferences are going to divvy up the Big Ten programs. I've seen that about the ACC, the Big 12, the Pacific Conference. You don't see articles about how the Big Ten's going to get chopped up or the SEC. That shows you where the power structure is in the game and where it's headed. I want to welcome on right now, good friend of mine, good friend of the program from CBS Sports and all that that means, digital, TV, radio, you can hear him everywhere. It is Barrett Slee. Barrett, brother, how are you?
I'm good. Just another slow off season in the world of college football. Hey, Chuck.
Yeah, it really is. And this is still just so speculative and one of the preemptive moves for the next 10 to come. But let's talk about this one. Immediately, what was your first thought when you saw that this went from rumor to news to confirmed in about 4 hours?
Well, my first thought, John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News tweeted it. And my first thought was, is this a real account or is this an imposter account? Because honestly, I thought that it was so outlandish that there's just no way that something like that would be possible. I mean, obviously nothing's impossible in college athletics, but the Big Ten going across the country to get those two schools, I thought was just unfathomable. And then, you know, my next thought was, well, this is it. This is all the super conference talk that, you know, you and I and everybody else have had really since the realignment back in 2010, 2011 with Nebraska and Colorado bailing. This is it, because college athletics has always been regionalized. For obvious reasons. But if you're going to do super conferences, you have to erase the regionalization of college athletics. And so that was my second thought. Like, this is it. Texas, Oklahoma going to the SEC doesn't really accomplish that. I mean, obviously it's a step toward that, but USC to UCLA to the Big Ten is absolutely the beginning of the super conference era and a drastic shift to, you know, a college athletic landscape that I think will have a separate sort of unique functionality for football, because some of these things aren't sustainable in the lesser sports, not necessarily for the Big Ten and the SEC, but for the lesser conferences, they're going to have a massive, massive problem keeping up.
I look at the geography of this, and you're right, UCLA and Southern Cal, maybe, you know, group flight, they can play road games and home games, you know, together, I don't know. But I saw, and I've heard some other opinions about, oh, calm down, Sheila, the NFL plays this way, what's the big deal? And my response is the NFL doesn't play tennis, all right? The NFL doesn't have, like, swim meets on a Wednesday night. That's the odds. Saturday when Northwestern and UCLA meet, whatever. That's a football game, and we know how those go. What about the Wednesday track meet between Purdue and Southern Cal?
Yeah, from a financial standpoint, it'll be easy. From a logistics standpoint, it'll be impossible, because these are
Your athletes become anonymous off campus.
They do, because they're never there. You're going to have a ton of remote school work. That is, you know, on airplane Wi-Fi, which is not necessarily as reliable as it should be. It's going to change a lot. And that, to me, is why I think we'll see a departure into super conference, super leagues for really football only, because it's the moneymaker. It's going to be the breadwinner for all of these teams. But you can't have, you know, an out-of-conference baseball game on a Tuesday or Wednesday night between UCLA and
Wisconsin,
and Wisconsin, or, you know, Washington and Miami, or, you know, Florida or whatever.
Rutgers and UCLA.
That's not feasible, right? So that's why I think the next step, because there are about 50 steps that need to be taken right now, but this is going to lead to a breakaway, not necessarily of the haves and the have-nots from a full conference perspective, and these might still be named after these conferences, but you're going to see basically a separate landscape for college football than you do everything else, because you're right. It's, you know, from a financial standpoint, these conferences make so much money, doesn't matter. But from a logistical standpoint, for the lesser programs, the lesser sports, you can't have it this way.
Wrapping up, Barrett Salee, CBS Sports, HQ, the digital, all of it. Barrett, what happens and when with the SEC?
I asked some folks around the SEC yesterday, and the answer I got universally was nothing right now. Right now probably being the operative phrase there, but that is what the stance is. And I think what that means, Chuck, is that it probably has a standing offer to Notre Dame and says, look, if you can figure it out logistically, getting out of your ACC deal because they have the right to first refusal, come on down. You know, you can come here. But, I mean, the only other, I guess, sort of feasible idea would be to crisscross the country in the Northwest Division. Big Ten went to the Southwest from where their footprint is. Go get Oregon and Washington before the Big Ten does. I think that would be – it would be an interesting sort of countermeasure to it, but I don't know how feasible or how interested the SEC would be. So right now I think where the SEC stands is they likely have – an offer, a standing offer to Notre Dame to say, look, if you want it, come and get it. And if it doesn't happen, then the SEC is just fine. And if it has to react beyond that, then it will.
Barrett, good stuff, brother. I appreciate you carving out some time today. I know you're busy.
A little bit going on in our world, right?
Little bit going on. See you in person in a couple weeks, brother.
All right, dude. See you.
All right, Barrett Salee again. Appreciate his time there. Ultimate baller move. ACC has had their – it's like fourth grade. Remember fourth grade? I called it. Front seat. I called it does not really work anymore. The ACC, you know what I've been saying for about a decade with Notre Dame? We called them. And Notre Dame has been hanging out with them. They're in the friend zone. Craig Sankey's like, hey, sup. It's better 10 ways from Sunday for any college football program. And do you know the rarity of Notre Dame? They may actually bring as much to the conference or close to it as the conference will bring to Notre Dame. Notre Dame will tell you, we're going to sacrifice, we're going to lose some, you know, by joining any conference. And they may be right about that. But they would gain a whole lot more, and most of it is green.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Since last July, I have not pretended to know where or when the SEC and the rest of college football would continue expanding, but we've been fairly consistent about it. That OU Texas thing, that was the appetizer, man. That was the guy walking around with the tray while somebody's playing the piano in the background. That was just the opening of all this. So I haven't known who and I haven't known when, but I knew that the SEC, Sankey, and everybody – all the conferences, they got put on notice by Sankey and the SEC moves. If you're feeling blindsided by what happened yesterday, like I said, I had no idea about those details until I saw it come out yesterday afternoon. The details may surprise you, but the general description of what happened, folks, we live in the adult world. And I promise you, financially, college football is the adult world. I want to welcome on right now. Boy, is his job description going to change. Says national college football writer from 247. That used to mean you cover all conferences. You could cover the SEC and be a national writer going forward. It is Chris Hummer. Chris, how you doing, brother?
Doing great. Like the rest of us, trying to fit my mouth around a water hose.
Were you like everybody else yesterday? You saw it on Twitter, and for like 30 seconds, I was like, that can't be. I was like, no, wait a minute. I said that last July, too. What was your yesterday like? Did you have any advance notice about this or anything?
Yeah, I mean, we were told, I won't pretend like I had it. We were told there was big college football news coming at some point yesterday. We just didn't quite know what it was, and I will say I was pretty surprised. I was actually talking to somebody out in California, and he sent me the tweet, and then we started scrambling. So, yeah, it was quite a day.
So what is the pivot? Not even the pivot, because that means you're reacting. What do you believe is the next choice that the SEC and Greg Sankey pursue?
Oh, man. I think they'll have lots of options for sure. I won't pretend to be in Greg Sankey's mind in that way, but I think just talking to people around the industry, larger conferences are the future. I mean, people have been telling me for a year now that the SEC is not going to stop at 16. This is just the tip of the iceberg, and there are some really attractive schools in the ACC. If I was the SEC, I would take a look at, like, Florida State, North Carolina, Miami, Clemson, all seem like pretty natural fits for the league.
How do you get them out of the ACC and that meteorites, grant of meteorites?
A lot of billing hours, I would assume. It's a pretty hefty price tag to leave for that grant of rights, obviously. Like, I've seen over $100 million as an estimate.
No.
But I think when you think about it this way, that SEC schools are probably going to be pulling in $100 million plus per year in distribution. That $100 million, so like $300 million price tag, doesn't seem quite as unscalable as it might have even 5 to 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, that could happen. And also just like if there's a major shakeup in the ACC, if a critical mass of teams decide they want to leave and the ACC just collapses, like maybe you don't have to pay the grant of rights at all. So that's another route it could potentially go.
And you know what? I think it's like Reagan, you know, spending the Soviet Union into no longer being communist. I think the SEC can kind of approach the ACC this way. And this is sinister as all get out. But Sankey, I think, can pull the ultimate baller move, and it would have likely accomplished two huge objectives. Get Notre Dame into the Southeastern Conference and then put ACC out of the football business. I think that could be the exact same. You get Notre Dame, the ACC realizes we got nothing to add now.
Yeah, I mean, if Notre Dame decides to go in another direction, be it the Big Ten or the SEC, I think it would be the Big Ten ultimately. I think it does kind of signal the beginning of the end for the ACC. But if the ACC can grab Notre Dame, it's a life raft. That's a brand that is big enough and important enough to where they can go back to ESPN and renegotiate their television rights deal. And if you can keep Notre Dame and potentially add, I don't know, maybe a Big 12 school or one of the two attractive, like to grab Oregon and Washington potentially. Like the ACC is a very viable conference at that point, but it all hinges on Notre Dame for sure.
Oregon and Washington, any sort of scouting report or opinion? I mean, they're a fair game for everybody, but any early lean about where those two huge programs from the Pac-12 land?
Yeah, I mean, most people I've talked to, just speculation on that, and that's what I would have. I think the Big Ten makes sense because ultimately I don't think USC and UCLA are going to be the only West Coast teams for the Big Ten. It just doesn't make sense from a travel perspective or for the smaller sports out there too, even though obviously those have been thrown by the wayside with these recent moves. So I think the Big Ten makes the most sense, but I just can't. Based on yesterday's news, I have a hard time envisioning the Pac-12 sticking around long term. So I would imagine the Big Ten or maybe like a merger with the Big 12 makes the most sense. And I know the Big 12 will certainly be very aggressive in trying to take advantage of this. But as you said earlier, we're moving to two alphas here, and I think there's only two places that you really want to be.
I got a weird trio to ask you about because on the football field, Kansas has been about as consistently bad for a decade as I've ever seen a Power 5 program, I think. Arizona and Duke, it's just bad, awful, just substandard football. How much does their hoops game help them as far as getting into, quote, a football conference?
I think it's significant. I mean, I know basketball is not as big of a priority as football, and it doesn't bring in as much money, but those are three national brands. I think Arizona to a lesser extent. I don't think Arizona is where it was 10, 20 years ago. But Duke and Kansas are major national players from a basketball perspective. They both have athletic budgets. Duke's a private school, so it's hard to tell, but I would imagine their athletic budget's over $100 million, which is kind of the cutoff point we're seeing for a lot of these additions. So those schools can hold up in a football league from a revenue perspective. And if that's the case, then you're one of the top 30, 40 teams. Your football program is going to get good pretty quick. We're not that far away from David Cutcliffe having a really nice run at Duke. And, like, it sounds crazy, but Kansas was in the Orange Bowl, like, 12, 13 years ago. So, like, we're not that far removed from them. So I think both programs are pretty attractive, if only because of basketball. But, like, they're not negative necessarily from a football perspective long term, because you would imagine both schools have room for improvement in that way.
You just found silver linings to Duke and Kansas football. You need one of those like 365 at a glance calendar with a positive thought on it each day, Chris. I tell you what, brother, you just talk positively about Duke and Kansas. I want to ask you about one more program, the Miami Hurricanes. What do you think that they want to be? Because they were like a lot of they're an elite educational institution. And I'm asking you about them specifically, but the entire, and I'm going to say facade, the entire facade about, as a conference, we're all about academics. No, this is an athletic conference we're talking about. Does that matter anymore? Would West Virginia get in today's ACC? Louisville got in. Do the academics, do you have to be a Miami now for the ACC to look at you and say, yes, you're welcome?
I don't think so. I think the Big Ten can afford to be picky. They can afford to be adding research institutions to tier one schools. I don't think the ACC has that luxury at this point if it hopes to survive. As for Miami specifically, like, I find Miami very interesting because I think they're a much more cultural fit for the Big Ten. As you said, they're a super strong academic school. But it's always funny because the brand of the football program doesn't necessarily align with that from what we've seen the last 30 years or so. So it's a very compelling case, and I think Miami's going to have a lot of options. If it wants to invest in football, like, Miami still has subpar athletic facilities. It still has to drive 30 minutes to play its home football game. So Miami – Miami needs to get its own house in order before I think it really considers those big picture questions.
Yeah, I'm remembering correctly. Like, Minnesota was playing at the Vikings joint, weren't they? And then they built their own on like Minnesota Golden Gophers football got their own on campus place. Playing off campus is just it's almost one of those dividing lines now. Like UCF built an on campus place.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong. Like UCLA plays at the Rose Bowl, which is like a 40-minute drive, but the Rose Bowl is the most famous.
Yeah.
Facility in college athletics, in my opinion. Like, Miami's playing at Hard Rock Stadium. Like, it has a crappy indoor. Like, there's a lot of work Miami needs to do. And I know Mario Cristobal's trying to change that place, but they're pretty far away from a revenue, not from a revenue perspective, well, a little bit from a revenue perspective, but an investment perspective than what you see for the top-tier teams in the SEC. So that has to change for Miami to change where it's at.
He's got a blue check. It means Twitter says it's him, @Chris_Hummer, national college football writer, portal writer, 247. Chris, I appreciate your time, brother. Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, again, Chris Hummer, 247. And so you've got what were previously listed as not competing interest, additional interest. And I don't believe you will hear much along the lines out of the Big Ten. It's funny, but he brought up the tier one, that phrase, tier one research institute or university or whatever. I had a coworker before I came on today come in. He's like, let's talk about tier one research. I was like, oh, okay. And that is something you look through the Big Ten and they're like, look at all. And it doesn't have to just be smarty pants schools like Northwestern. Like Washington State's a tier one. Auburn's a tier one. It can be chemistry. It can be aerospace engineering. It can be agronomy. Doesn't matter. But you got to take it seriously. And that has always been a stance of the Big Ten. And boy, they sell it. But I don't know this one way or the other. Is Rutgers a school of any particular academic distinction? I don't know if they are or not. It could be 13th grade. It could be Harvard. I don't know. If it were the extremes, I probably would have heard. But that was huge for them. The ACC decided it was huge, and then they looked around at who they could get, and they're like, yeah, it ain't so huge anymore. The idea of what it used to be, when I say used to be, I mean as recently as about 10 years ago. The idea was it used to be there's the Duke and North Carolina ACC, and then there's the ACC that everybody else gets treated like. Well, that changed. Because you had enough programs like Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech looking around going, hey, who are you, ACC? And so a little of that haughtiness, that's a word I'll use. That's a good Southern word, isn't it? A little of that haughtiness has kind of been put aside by the ACC. And I hope all of it. You still need to graduate. I'm not going off the rails on that. Bob Huggins at Cincinnati, we brought him up maybe a few weeks ago for some reason. Bob Huggins, the former basketball coach at Cincinnati, took that team to a Final Four. Do you know what he was more famous for? He had a four-year graduation total of zero. Not one kid had graduated in 4 years of basketball there. That's between the kid and his mom and the coach and whatever else. I'm giving you a scholarship and letting you go to class. So you may need to kind of set some of that aside because you know what the Big 12 just said? Cincinnati, absolutely loved. Come on, bring it down. And it's fine. So the academic part of it, I think that, it, you know, de-emphasized, not spoken of.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Somebody had to make a move, and the Big Ten made a move. USC and UCLA stepped up, and they're joining the Big Ten, which I think is great for the Big Ten. It's great for USC and UCLA, those fan bases, recruiting, all of those things, and the national exposure that they'll get from both coasts.
Matt Leinart. He won the Heisman. I'm going to get this way, 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 way wrong. He won the Heisman in 2006-05. Dadgummit. Matt Leinart. He's in the media now. He's on the Big Ten Network. And he said, you had to know something like this was coming. You talk about getting on. He played in the Pac-12. He's on the Big Ten Network. I'd like to join the winning team, please. No, he was speaking on the Big Ten Network. Said had to know something like this was coming, but and you're right. It's been nonstop speculation since last July. Oh, we're back to we were thinking there would be a formal round of expansion and realignment. Okay, all these meteorites are up for grabs, so who wants these teams? No, wasn't anything like that at all. It was the Big Ten. Doesn't this make, like, how could you not know that this was what the Big Ten was working for? We've talked on this program. We now have 364 days remaining before the Big Ten's current media deal is up. You don't sign the new deal, then start adding teams. You make yourself as shiny and sparkly as possible. And by the way, the Big Ten, they were already looking at $1 billion. They were already going to lap. The Pac-12, the ACC, they were already going over $1 billion. Right now, they're about 650-ish. The SEC is about 830, 40, 50-ish. As I'm recalling, the ACC was down in what, like the 380-ish mark, maybe? Talking about millions. So the Big Ten was already sitting in the fabled catbird seat, Gail. And now they have two programs from California, I believe the seventh largest economy in the world by itself, and those two programs, like Cal and Stanford, wouldn't have done quite as much. Now, the surprising part today, I don't know if surprising is the right word. There's a weird trio of awful football programs who suddenly have hand. Duke, Kansas, and Arizona, we were just talking about them. These are three huge football prizes for a conference either trying to put the final hammer to the rest of the conferences, SEC, Big Ten. Those are huge, huge, huge gains. Or a conference looking for a buoy to help them survive. If the Big 12 says, hey, we already got Kansas, we can add Duke and Arizona, guess what? A, the real teams in the conference that you actually care about for football, go to them and tell them you're adding Arizona, Duke, and Kansas. Go to them. Hey, football schools, guess who we're adding? Oh, you are? It's a football win for the conference teams you really care about in the money-making sport, which is football and then hoops. And B, it might be your best chance for a basketball Final Four team or two each April. Like the Big 12, I don't know. Dan Matthews. Dan, what do you think happens with Baylor? Stay or go? Where are they in 3 years, 4 years?
Does anybody care?
Nice response. Give me more. Yeah, it's a golf clap. Yeah. Do you think they're Big 12? Do you think they get poached? And you're right. Ultimately, Baylor's not a football team that moves the needle. But they're a national champion in basketball, right?
Yeah, they are.
And Kansas is already in that conference.
Sure.
At Arizona and Duke, suddenly you got the best basketball. Now, granted, basketball league, it's awesome. It's not football, but at least it's a corner to fight out of.
You might not even be top five in your own state, though. That's the problem.
True. True. You're making the best of a tough situation here if you're the Big 12. George Kliavkov, he's got Arizona. I promise you, he looks at Kansas and is like, that's one of the worst football teams in America. He's like, we'll take it. You want a corner to fight out of. And if you are like the Big 12, the ACC, and the Pac-12, one of them is not going to exist anymore. If you can make a move so that that's not you, you may not care if it's a water skiing national championship. Anything that keeps you viable as a conference, that's the move you're going to make. Dan, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm awesome. And, you know, I've got all the respect in the world for people like Paul Feinbaum in our business. But I'm watching ESPN this morning, and, of course, you know, whenever something college football related, they go to their go-tos, him, Heather Dinich.
Yep.
Kirk Herbstreit, whoever it might be. And his first immediate reaction was, this is greed by athletic directors and college presidents. Again, I've already laid out the caveat, nothing but respect. Every single time I've met with Paul, he has been nothing but gracious and a really good guy. But if that's your first immediate response to what happened yesterday, I think that my reaction to you is twofold. Either A, you just haven't been paying attention, or B, you don't know as much as you think you know. And neither of them are a good look in this case, because why do we continuously act surprised when things like this happen and the immediate response is greed of the universities and of the athletic directors and everybody out there? Then clearly you just don't know the changing landscape that is happening in college sports, because guess what? When a Texas and Oklahoma move, it's not going to be met with, oh, well, hey, you know what? Good for Greg Sankey and the SEC. I mean, you know.
That must be the end of it.
That really must be it. You know, hey, they've checkmated us. We can go ahead and clear the board and just go home. No, immediately Kevin Warren started to look for what is next for us. Even George Kliavkov, he should have been looking that direction, but he wasn't. And that's why the Pac-12 sits in the situation that they are in right now. Same with the ACC, same with the Big 12. This is all on everybody else who, at the same time, if your immediate response is, oh, greed, then you've already lost the game. I'm sorry, because everybody else is looking to say, hey, we've got a lot of money. How can we add even more money? Ooh, we can expand the playoff. That's a way. We can add these teams. That's a way as well. You can say all you want, because you're the one that doesn't have the money coming your direction. And that's a you problem. That ain't Greg Sankey's problem. That's not Kevin Warren's problem. That's not anybody else's problem that's waking up on the right side of this today.
Oh, yeah. And I can promise you, Kliavkov and Bowlesby, they've each spent the past 11 and a half months trying to pick the other's pocket. Both of them are smart enough to not even look towards the Big Ten. They have spent the past 12 months trying to position themselves as the survivor. Hey, UCLA, Pac-12 membership, but UCLA and USC, look who we just added to our conference. Wow, we get a new TV deal. We get more money. Kliavkov's been busting his tail trying to get that thing done. So has Bowlesby. I know we lost OU in Texas, but look who we just added. Two Arizona schools and Los Angeles. Neither of them were able to get it done.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.